and remained as such to this very day. Morgan had fallen, and there had been a moment when I stood above his pale body, the eyes of the king's court upon me, and thought, I could bring him back. It would be so easy to do so. Somehow I resisted the temptation, because I'd been taught by a man far greater than I that just because I could do something didn't mean that I should.
It can get away from you if you let it,
Morgan of Shadows had told me once, shortly after I'd come to Castle Locks.
It can be something unwieldy, growing beyond your control.
I'd stared at him with wide eyes. And that's bad? He nodded, gravely.
Yes, little one. It's bad. Because your mind could become clouded, and you could lose your way. It is why understanding what you're capable of is very important.
I won't do that. I won't be bad. He'd smile then. That smile I thought was just for me.
I know you won't. And I'll be here to help you.
Promise?
I promise. Sam. Soon, Sam. I promise. I'll be there soon. And then it will end.
I jerked awake, heart pounding, skin slick with sweat. Ryan slept at my side, chest rising and falling slowly. I watched him sleep for the longest time. From the Grimoire of Morgan of Shadows.
It's odd, really, being alone. For the longest time, Mirren and Randall were at my side, ever watchful. My guardians, my protectors, my mentors. I felt complete. Together we seemed unstoppable. I'd always heard that two wizards should never be each other's cornerstone. But why not? If it worked, then why shouldn't they be as they were? I know now why. I think. Maybe it played a part in all that came after. Maybe it didn't. Maybe Mirren was always meant to become mired in shadows. Maybe that was his destiny. Randall said he'd return to me when he'd healed himself. I just need to wait. I hope it's not long. But things feel different now. The darkness is gone. Anya is remarkable. I'm glad she's not a wizard. A breakthrough. I wish I could tell Randall. One eye a fire gecko. 1.5 cups ground wormwood. 2 kintashi mushrooms. 1 tear of a spectacularly agitated troll worm. There are stories coming from the mountains of the north of a haunted castle made of ice. Travelers say the mere sight of it brings about a feeling of dread, that screams can be heard from inside, wailing as if in lamentation, bright lights bursting from within. Ghosts, they say. Stay far away, they say. I can't. I have to know. Randall Stark. He attacked me. I'd be dead now, except he pulled back at the last moment. He looks wild, unhinged. His magic curled around him like a fog. He didn't recognize me at first. I couldn't have stopped him. Not if he truly wanted to end my life. It wasn't until I said his name that the fog lifted, if only for a moment. He saw me, I think. He He really saw me.
Morgan,
he said.
Morgan, leave.
Fight it, I pleaded. You have to fight it, because I can't lose you too. He was gone after that. But then the screaming resumed. From deep within, Castle Frecius. That's what losing a cornerstone does to you. What will happen when I lose mine? What would happen if you combined certain words?
Shri.
And Mao. And Bre. Are seemingly unconnected. But are they really? What if they were said together? What could that bring? I did it. I helped him on his way back to the light. I will carry scars of the battle for life. But it's worth it. Randall's returned. He's different than he was a decade ago. But then so am I. I reintroduced him to Anya. She's older now. He smiled, but not before I caught the look of fear in his eyes. It's not the same. It's not. Glenjaw passed beyond the veil. Randall is head wizard now. There's not many of us left. Randall doesn't seem concerned.
You're young yet, he said. More will come if needed.
But what if they don't? Will magic just die? He told me once, it would be better if Mirren's name was wiped from history. I didn't believe him. I never tried to stop him. I never thought there'd come a day when I realized I hadn't thought about Mirren in years. Today was that day. Now I can't shake him from my mind. We should check the seal, just to be safe. Sometimes, I still doubt myself. Anya laughed at me. Her hair is gray now. The lines around her face and mouth more pronounced. She's still the most beautiful person I've ever seen.
You can do this.
She chided me gently.
I know it. I believe in you.
She believes in me. She believes in me. Thank you, Anya. Morgan of Shadows. My name, I've never thought of it much. But doesn't Randall have the most curious sense of humor? Anya's sick. I knew this day would come. Gods, how I wish I'd prepared for it better. Maybe she'll... It was quick. In the end, it was quick. She smiled. She closed her eyes. She breathed in and out, and in and out, and... That was it. That was it. The end. I felt it the moment she crossed the veil. When her heart stopped, when she sighed out that last breath, I felt it. Brutal. Savage. Randall had warned me how it could be. It felt like I broke cleanly in two. I cried, of course. How could I not? I loved her. But I didn't feel dark. I never felt shadows. Nothing whispered in my head. My magic is as it always was. I'm grieving, yes. My body aches. I can still smell her scent upon the pillow, though it's already started to fade. But I haven't turned toward darkness. I think it's because I did split in two. And if that's the case, then Randall broke into jagged pieces. I knew the end was coming. I had time. She held on for weeks. Randall did too. But he never got to say goodbye. Gods help me. But we should have killed my brother. We should have ended his life. For his sake. And for Randall's. Magic is a curious thing. Even after all this time. Why, just today, I made a flower bloom with nothing but a thought in my head. It's beautiful. It reminds me of her. Randall told me he's leaving Castle Locks. It's time. You will be the king's wizard. But don't argue with me, Morgan. You're ready. But what about you? He smiled. Retirement will look good on me until you find an apprentice of your own. Then we'll give him hell and make him a great wizard. They are calling him Good King Anthony of Verenia. He's young, but his heart is pure. He will do well. She came to me from the desert, Vedoma, and she spoke of a prophecy. His name is Sam. It's a good name. I don't know if I'm ready to be a mentor. What if I mess up? What if he doesn't listen to me? What if I turn him dark? I can't do that to him. Gods, I don't know if I can do this. It hurts, leaving him in the slums. Randall says it's necessary, that he needs to be allowed to be a child before we step in and change his life. I don't agree. He needs to know what he's capable of, what he'll be, who he'll become. Maybe if I could just talk to him, to his parents, I could. No, Randall's right. I need to wait. I've been summoned. He's presented. They're boys made of stone in an alleyway. How wonderful. He talks and talks and talks. Randall laughed at me when I told him as much.
You reap what you sow.
I'm worried.
About?
What if I don't do right by him? Randall, we're already withholding so much from him.
You'll do fine. He couldn't be in more capable hands. Trust yourself, Morgan. Your instincts have rarely led you astray.
I sent him into the dark woods to find something unexpected. He's only been gone for 2 hours, and yet I am fretting, as if it's been days. I have to remind myself that it's necessary. He'll be fine. I was, when I had to do the same. I wonder what he'll bring back. Gary and Tiggy. Into the wilds. And that's who we brought back. Truly unexpected. Gods, How delightful he is. Sam of Wilds, though. It's a good name. The heart wants what it wants. But sometimes the heart cannot have what it wants. Maybe the prince and the knight aren't in love, but they are together. Sam respects that, even though I know it hurts him. But still, he thinks the knight doesn't even know he exists, much less know his name. If that's true, then why does Ryan Foxheart never look away when Sam's in the room? I wonder. His cornerstone. Ryan is Sam's cornerstone. Because of course he is. God damn it. He is loved. Above all else, he is loved. Granted, he spent 3 hours regaling me with a story that started with him losing his virginity, quite spectacularly, Morgan, like, I'm a man, and ended up being a diatribe on the way society views sex and sexuality. By the time he finished, I doubt even he knew what he was talking about. But he's smiling more than I've ever seen him before. That is thanks to Knight, delicious face. I can't believe I wrote that. Sam is happy. I hope I never have to take that away from him. Maybe Vedoma got it wrong. Vedoma is here. Gods forgive me. He's angry. So, so angry. And I can't blame him for any of it. We shouldn't have kept this from him. If only we'd... He's leaving for the desert. And I know Vedoma's shown him things he hasn't shared with me. I could see it plain as day on this face, the moment he awoke in the field, after she blew her powder into his face. It scared him. Sam, I'm so sorry. I wish things were different. But you must remember, your heart is your greatest weapon. Mirren, I swear on all that I have. If you touch one hair on Sam's head, I will end you. You won't hurt him. I won't let you. I will stop you. Somehow. It never should have come to this, brother. But now that it has, I will do what I must. Sam, if you're reading this, I have passed beyond the veil.
From the Grimoire of Randall of Dragons. Magic is everything. I will take my time with it. It cannot be rushed. My mentor will be the Great White. This is unexpected. For one, we cannot understand each other. I cannot speak dragon. He cannot speak in a human tongue. Are we just supposed to growl at each other? If so, we've got that down perfectly. I hate him. So much. The Great White seems to believe I'm wasting my time. Every wizard knows that eventually a cornerstone will come into being.
The Great White doesn't like the fact that I'm making room for such a person in my constructs. I can't deny he is a point. To depend upon one person to hinge my magic on seems to be a logical fallacy. So much could go wrong. But even I can't say I'm not seduced by the idea of such a person. Made for me, just as I've been made for them. In the meantime, I met the most curious of triplets the other day, the Bellotti sisters, and all of them seemed to find me irresistible. If the next 17 hours meant anything. Where does this magic come from? Is it in the air? Is it in my blood? Is it from my mind or the earth beneath my feet? It seems confounding that such a thing could exist. And why me? Why are there so few of us who can do the things I can? Am I in tune with the world in the way others are not? No one in my family seems to be capable of the things I am, though they are all long gone now. My life will be long. I've barely begun to scrape the surface. Magic does come from the mind. Is it as limitless as imagination? What a terrifying thought. The Great White says I have no need of a cornerstone. I believe him. The trials, they were nothing. I am Randall of Dragons. I met another wizard. He's arrogant, irritating. He thinks he knows so much when he obviously knows very little. I cannot stand the sight of him. He smirks at me like he knows me. It's infuriating. I don't have time for people like him. I have work to do. He seems enchanted by me. I wish for his death daily. When will he leave? Breakthrough today. I understand more than I ever have before. I was staring down at an equation that I've been studying for years. The solution out of my grasp, and all of a sudden, it made sense. I don't know how I never saw it before. It seems so simple now. If Mirren hadn't bumped my elbow when he had, spilling the ink, I might have... Wait. He's not... Oh, it can't... Oh, no. Two wizards. Together. Absolutely not, is what the Great White would say. Cornerstones, they are useless. They distract from what's important. I find myself agreeing with him, but still. What if... No. It's better if I don't even think about it. Mirren brought me a flower today. It was a dingy little thing that looked as if it had been sat upon after being ripped from the earth. He was grinning when he handed it to me. I took it, only because he would have continued to stand there with that dopey look upon his face. It doesn't mean anything, obviously.
Dried flower petals pressed between the pages.
Mirren stares at me when he thinks I'm not looking. It's creepy. I must watch him closer when he's not looking at me. Just one day, he says. You won't regret it, he says. Give me a chance, he says. No, I say. No and no and no. The Great White accused me of being distracted today. Don't even try to understand how I know that. He's like this presence in my head. It's dragon magic, it has to be. He doesn't have to open his mouth, and I know what he's telling me. And he is accusing me of being distracted. If only he knew. Mirren kissed me today, that asshole. He's my cornerstone. He's my cornerstone. He's my cornerstone. Fuck, 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 fuck. It is of the mind, but it's also of the air and the earth, the plants and the trees and the sky and the stars. Magic is everywhere, but it starts in the mind. I can't say if it's the same for other magical creatures, but they don't think like we do. They say things differently. I'm sure the elves probably say the same about us, but then they've always been of the superior sort. It's not as if there are many around anymore as it is. But it starts in the mind. It's a spark. And it gathers. I can see so much of it now. So much more than I could even after the trials. The outlines. The construct. How it builds and builds and builds. I need to tell the Great White, so he'll... Mirren's here. I can tell him too. I have to make a choice. The Great White or Mirren. He's making me do this. That giant bastard is making me do this. How dare he? How dare he do this to me? It's not as if... I... Gods... Can I do this? Why can't you trust me to know what I'm doing? I asked the Great White today. And in my head, I got an image of a toddler crawling on his hands and knees. Message received loud and clear. He's not wrong. To him, we're all children, but he doesn't understand what it means to be human. What it means to care for another. He... Trust me. Mirren told me. This will be the best thing for the both of us. How can you be so sure? He smiled at me. Sunny and bright.
Have I ever steered you wrong?
Gods, I love him. I felt the Great White's anger, his rage, his fury. But underneath it all, I felt his hurt. He was hurt by my decision. It doesn't change my mind, but I didn't expect that. Oh, what's in a name? Mirren the Bright Star. It's fitting. I don't know why. David's dragon are the brightest stars in the sky. Randall of dragons. Mirren the Bright Star. We were meant to be. The Great White didn't know what he was talking about. I am the king's wizard. I have an apprentice. I have my cornerstone. It's everything I could have wanted. Mirren was whispering something to the king today. He smiled and winked at me when he caught me watching. I wonder if he's planning a surprise. For some reason, I like surprises, but only when they come from him. Morgan is bright, inquisitive, studious, focused. I will expect great things from him. The king seems off lately, a shadow of his former self. He says he's fine, but I'll need to keep an eye on him. Mirren is gone. He left a note saying he'd be back in a few days. He didn't say where he was going. This is the third time he's done this. I know he is a wandering spirit, but I thought this would be enough. That I would be enough. It's okay, though. I have plenty to keep me busy. The king had a scare today. He was speaking in front of his court, and then just trailed off, staring into the distance. His eyes were unfocused and his jaw slack. I thought it was a precursor to a seizure. I reached for him, but Mirren was there first. I could have sworn Mirren said something to him, but I didn't see his lips move. The king snapped out of it a moment later. He said he hadn't slept well the night before. Bad dreams. I'll make him a calming draught for tonight. Morgan asked me today if I'd felt the shift in the wind.
It feels like something's coming,
he said. I laughed at my apprentice and patted his shoulder. Of course not, I said. Everything is fine. I hate lying to him. The king executed a thief today. Came out of nowhere. One moment the man was being judged, and most likely faced a few days in the dungeons. But then the king said he needed to set an example. Death, the king said, by beheading. I was too surprised to say anything.
Are you sure?
Mirren asked him.
It doesn't seem...
Are you questioning me? The king asked. Mirren bowed in deference. The man screamed. An hour later, the executioner's axe was bloodied, and that was that. Mirren and I went for a long walk today. It's been some time since it was just the two of us. I held his hand. He kissed my cheek. He said,
I wonder what it would be like if this was all different.
He smiled at me when I asked him what he meant. That's okay. Just happy to be with him. They're calling him the King of Sorrows now, for all the strife he's brought down upon his people. He won't listen to me, no matter how hard I try. I don't know what to do. It was Mirren. It was Mirren. It was Mirren. It was...
You love me,
he said. I do.
Then why?
Because you have to be stopped.
Randall, you are constrained by the rules that have been placed upon you. My mind has been expanded in ways you wouldn't believe. Magic is so much more than what we were taught. Please, listen to me. This, everything, it can all be ours. If you just
don't, I love you. I know.
I'm sorry, then.
I don't remember much after that. I don't know how I never saw this coming. How I never saw any of it. He's so strong. And the darks have gathered behind him.
Gods.
My heart. How it aches. A seal could be made if needed. After casting someone to the Realm of Shadows. We could. No. No, no. If I don't... I have to kill him. Morgan came to me today. He begged me. He begged me to do what I could. Then he showed me something. Something I never thought he could do. Containment. Compression. Maybe... I love you, Mirren, even now. It's done. We almost died, but it's done. He's locked away. He screamed and screamed and screamed. But in the end, we were stronger than his rage. Gods help us all. He'd been dripping poison in the King of Sorrow's ears for longer than I thought. I was barely able to bring him back. But his eyes cleared. I have to be strong. For Morgan. But it's there, isn't it? At the back of my mind. I have to be strong. I lasted longer than I ever thought I could. But it's still not enough. I must flee this place. Castle Frecius, it's my last hope. I left gifts for the dragons in the cave. Their feathers are extraordinary. The shadows are crawling along my skin. It won't be long now. Gods damn you, Merin. You did this. I loved you, and you did this to me.
The next pages are illegible, covered in unrecognizable symbols. Some have been torn out.
He smiled when he saw me. I wanted to kill him.
Randall,
he said,
I...
Morgan barely escaped. If he returns, it will be the last thing he does. I can breathe. The sun eats. Bright today. A woman named Vedoma came from the desert. Morgan seems disturbed. I think she's a liar. He's an asshole. Morgan wants to tell him the truth. He wants to put upon his shoulders the weight of his destiny. No, no, we can't do that. Not if it ever comes to pass. Maybe the gods were wrong. He has a cornerstone. Because of course he does. I want to strangle him as much as I want to keep him safe. That idiot child. It's Merin. I should have seen that coming. Because of course he would find a way. Tenacious. Always. Why do I still love him? After everything. I could. Death is a cleansing. It frees you from the shackles of this world. The veil is crossed. Sins are forgiven. And Sam... Well, he can bring things back, can't he? He doesn't know I know. I could. I must think on it.
I closed Randall's grimoire, mind racing. Ryan lay sleeping beside me in the bed, his hand curled against my hip. It was late. My eyes were burning. The candlelight flickered low. Randall had said I'd find the answers I needed between these pages. But so far, all I'd gotten was that Randall and Morgan were fucking liars, and that every wizard treated their grimoire like a journal. Give you so much crap. I whispered tiredly. They hadn't seen Merin coming. Or by the time they had... It had been too late. They had underestimated him, much like Merin had done to me. I didn't know what I was supposed to be seeing. It was curious, though. Both Morgan and Randall had written that magic came from the mind, that it was like imagination.
Why can't you just wish him away?
Mama had said. Why indeed? There were rules, right? Ceilings. It wasn't limitless. But hadn't I always been told normal rules didn't apply to me? That I wasn't like those that had come before me? What if I could...
Why are you still awake?
Ryan mumbled next to me. Startled a little, thinking.
About?
Wizarding things? Sounds complicated. Maybe. He rubbed a hand over his eyes.
Need help?
Don't ever leave me. Not now. Not tonight. Sleep. It's late.
You too.
Yeah, okay. As I slid down in the bed, he pulled the comforter up and over our shoulders. We lay on his pillow, our noses and knees bumping together. The candle sputtered, the shadows dancing along his glittering eyes.
You can't do anything stupid.
You might need to clarify that.
Self-sacrificing.
I hesitated.
Sam,
he said, taking my hand in his.
Promise me.
But what if...
No. There's no what if. It's not an option.
We don't know what's going to happen.
We don't. But that doesn't mean...
I won't. He searched my face. I didn't know if he found what he was looking for, but he nodded slowly.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Then that means you can't do it either. And you can't pull your, but I'm a knight and I have to be chivalrous and stupid and flourish my sword like an asshole so everyone loves me.
I don't sound like that.
Pretty much.
You're so dumb.
Yeah, but that seems to be something you like. He smiled slow and sweet, before reaching out and tracing a finger over my eyebrows.
I guess so.
Randall's planning something, isn't he? I think so. But so was I. I'm not going to like it, am I? Probably not. I mean, it's a plan. From Randall, I doubt anyone is going to like it. You don't think... I frowned. What?
I mean, I know it's not, but you don't think he'd... What if he's still trying to save Mirren? What if he's using you?
And Sam? Well, he can bring things back, can't he?
You think that if he were to die, I could bring him back, and he would be... cleansed?
Yes. But I am wrong about that, Sam. We were wrong. To keep him trapped in the Shadow Realm. To not have ended this when we had the chance.
You knew. About the bird, you already knew. And... what, you were going to use me?
The briefest of thoughts. It did cross my mind. Then I remembered the truth of all things. Mirren has chosen his path, and he will continue upon it, no matter what we do. And I realize that death is final, Sam. Death is the end. It is the cleansing of life, the breaking of the shackles. It is an ending. You cannot course-correct that ending, even though your heart is aching.
I trust him, I said simply.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. He shrugged.
Okay.
Sleep, I told him. He did. And even though I should have left it for the light of day, I couldn't wait. Ryan was snoring softly. The fire was barely crackling. Just embers, really. The candle was almost gone. All I wanted to do was sink back down into the mattress, curl up next to Ryan, and follow him into sleep. But Mirren's grimoire sat on the table near the window. I closed my eyes, forcing myself to relax. I open them a moment later. Just a peek. A few pages. Then I'll go to bed. I've already read part of it, right? Just a little more. I glance back at Ryan. His mouth slack. A little bit of drool on his chin. If only his knights could see him now. I got up from the bed. But I'd always been taught that once a wizard was ready, he would need to bind his grimoire with the skin of a fallen enemy defeated in battle, or a material hard won in the face of adversity. It was done to seal the magic inside, to make it go from theory to reality. Morgan's was covered in beautiful crystals, taken from a cave far in the jungles of the east. He'd nearly lost his life, as the irate cave troll hadn't wanted to part with its pretties, but he'd managed to best the troll without killing it, and bound the crystals to his grimoire. Randall's grimoire was made from wood, from Mujor, a tree the elves believed kept the sky from falling. The wood was dark and hardened, almost like stone, and it had been a gift after Randall had earned the trust of the elven king. Both materials were hard won. Mirren's grimoire was bound with the skin of a siren, crusted and hard and stretched so thin it was almost translucent. The way the stories went, the siren was a particularly nasty sort, causing ships to crash into rocks, killing all those aboard who were unable to resist the song. I wondered if it was that simple. I pressed my hand against the cover. It almost felt wet. I told myself to go back to bed. Instead, I opened the book and began to read. From the Grimoire of Mirren the Bright Star.
Magic is everything. It is everywhere. And I will find a way to master it all.
I found Randall sitting on the porch the next morning, eyes closed as he breathed in and out slowly. He didn't acknowledge me as I sat next to him, but he knew I was there. I waited, putting my thoughts in order, wanting to make sure what I said next was the right thing. My head was full, near to bursting. "So?" I finally said.
"So,"
Randall said, but he didn't open his eyes. "I did what you asked." "You can never give me shit about my grimoire ever again, because, dude, total diaries. All of yours. It was awful, if I'm being honest."
"Is that so?"
"And your prose is a little purple for my tastes."
"Everyone's a critic."
"But I know now why you wanted me to do it. To read them." He opened his eyes and looked at me. "Was that your plan all along? To show me the details? The little bits and pieces?" He smiled sadly.
"We are wizards, Sam. We are capable of such great and terrible things. But we're also human. We make mistakes. We hurt others. And sometimes, the worst in us comes out, and we find ourselves mired in shadow."
"Death is freeing. A cleansing."
"Yes."
"The shackles released."
"Yes."
"It's going to be either him or me."
"And that's where you're wrong. Because it was never just you, Sam. You've never been alone. Not in this. Not ever. You've always had Ryan, and Gary, and Tiggy, and Kevin, the king and the prince, your parents, Pete, Morgan, and me. So no, it's not going to be either him or you. It's going to be him or all of us."
I took in a shaky breath. "I have a plan." His smile faded.
Whenever you said those words, I always dreaded them because they usually meant something terrible was going to happen.
Rude, but fair.
Will it work?
I grinned rakishly at him. I'm Sam of Dragons.
That doesn't inspire the confidence you seem to think it does. What is your plan?
I looked him straight in the eye and said, I'm going to betray you all. Chapter 17. The Betrayal.
The stupidest thing we've ever done.
I rolled my eyes. So you've said, Tiggy, repeatedly, for the last 3 hours, in those exact words, over and over again.
Making sure you heard.
I heard you.
Still doing it?
Yes, Tiggy.
You're stupid.
Hey, he's not wrong, Gary said as we marched down the road, the flags atop Castle Lox visibly flapping in the distance. I mean, I've followed you through some pretty stupid stuff before. You act like all we do is stupid stuff. Do you remember that time you made wings out of parchment and sticks you found on the ground and were ready to jump off the back parapet before your mom found us and told you that if you moved another inch, you would be grounded for the rest of your natural life? You were the one who told me to do it. And also, do you know how many times I've been grounded for the rest of my natural life? 7 times. No, wait, 8 times, because she did it again when I came back from my Dark Woods Dragon adventure.
Or what about the time you chained yourself up in the middle of a field because you wanted me to come caress you with my mouth? We didn't even know each other. That was pretty stupid. And also sexy.
I scowled at Kevin. That was the truth, Corn Colt. I had nothing to do with that. Or what about the time you took a visiting dignitary to one of the hole-in-the-wall bars in the slums so he could get the real City of Lox experience? Ryan asked. He had fun! Well, for the first few hours. The next 17 days were hostage negotiations, but they were damn good negotiations. Those bandits ended up walking away with confused expressions and 300 pounds of sea salt they never knew they wanted. And then they were arrested. Everything turned out fine.
This is stupidest thing we've done.
Tiggy! I gasped. Have you so little faith in me? Tiggy patted me on the head.
I believe in you.
Aww.
But you're stupid.
Everything is going to be fine, as long as you all follow the extremely detailed points I laid out to the letter without any deviations. We shouldn't die a horrible death after being tortured for weeks where fingernails are pulled out one by one. I don't have fingernails, so I should be just fine. I can handle a little torture. You once screamed bloody murder when you got a splinter in your leg. It hurt! It turned out to not be a splinter at all, but a piece of lint stuck in your hair. I had to make sure you knew I needed help. Whatever. Dimitri, you have faith in me, don't you? The 6-inch naked man with wings fluttered near my shoulders.
You broke up with me by running away.
For fuck's sake. Good help is so fucking hard to find these days. We were a motley crew, the 6 of us. A half-giant, a unicorn, a knight, a dragon, a fairy king, and a kick-ass wizard, all marching with our heads held high toward the City of Lox with a firm belief in the plan set forth by said wizard, no matter how much bitching tried to provide evidence to the contrary. I wore the best robes I could find on such short notice, a deep and flowing green inlaid with a gold design along the hem. Gary said it looked like a dress that I couldn't even dream of pulling off, but he had done his mane up in a stylized bouffant for reasons even he couldn't explain, so I didn't think he had any room to talk. Ryan was knighted out in full armor, something that he was probably regretting given how far we'd walked and how warm it was, but he refused to acknowledge his discomfort because he was a man who did manly things, like a douchebag. Tiggy wore pants, even though he didn't want to. We were all thankful. Dimitri wore nothing, because no one had tiny clothes. We're going to be fine, I said, more for everyone else than myself, given that I was absolutely 47% convinced that this was going to sort of work. You'll see. I mean, if you think about it, even if a few of my ideas have been less than stellar, we're still alive for the moment, aren't we? Wow, Ryan said. Way to be inspiring. I scowled at him. You're sweating profusely because you're wearing full armor like an asshole. Shut up.
We gonna die?
Tiggy asked Gary.
Probably. But you know what I always say? Die young, leave a good-looking corpse that people will probably want to have stuffed, and positioned in a rather morbid art display inside one of those sterile-looking museums that people go to and pretend to understand exactly what the artist was trying to say because it makes them feel deep.
He does always say that,
Kevin said fondly.
I'm so happy we're married again after having broken up, separated, soul-searched. Had a trial reconciliation filled with a carnality that made even me blush. And then realized that Gary can do no better than the beast from the east.
Gary squinted up at him.
Dear, I think you got a couple of those words mixed up. Gary didn't realize anything. You realized that your life was shallow and empty without me, and therefore begged me to give you the time of day again. And when I finally acquiesced, you cried and told me I am never allowed to leave you again because you were lonely without me and couldn't imagine existing without me.
Kevin chuckled awkwardly.
He's so funny, right? Making stuff up like that.
He then lowered his voice, as if he thought we couldn't hear him, even though he was literally standing right next to us.
Well, just stop saying that. We're with our son and the boys. Don't embarrass me in front of them. They won't think I'm cool anymore. And then Sam won't want to go out and toss the old pigskin around with me anymore, and or finally give in to the palpable chemistry that simmers between us.
It was a literal pigskin, I told Ryan. I don't know where he got it from, but it was fresh. He tossed it at me, and I ran screaming because some of it got on me.
Did we ever figure out why he and Gary sometimes think they're your parents? Or is it one of those things we just accept as fact and don't try to look too much into because it doesn't quite make sense?
Like our lives,
Tiki said.
The half-giant is quite profound. Maybe he could appreciate a man of my caliber. You there! Half-giant, how would you feel about being my queen?
I smash you,
Tiki growled.
Eep,
Dimitri said. This is totally going to work, I decided. As we approached, we could see movement atop the walkways on the walls that surrounded the City of Locks. Given Kevin's size, I was sure we'd been spotted long ago. But I wasn't too worried about it. At least not yet. Okay, maybe I started to get a little worried when the gates opened and dark wizards poured out, standing in a regimented line even before we could announce ourselves. I had complete and utter 47% faith in my plan, but there was still that small 53% that niggled at the back of my mind. Everything hinged on the next few moments, and I hoped that everyone was ready to play their roles to perfection. I knew that we might have been a little bit fucked when Gary exclaimed in a loud voice,
Oh no! 'Tis the Dark Wizards! Whatever shall we do? The fear is tingling down my thighs like I have restless leg syndrome.
Oh my gods. Gary, shut up.
I'm just getting into character, he hissed back. You know I'm not good playing the damsel in distress. I'm much too tough for such frivolities. I'm a strong, independent unicorn who don't need no men's to rescue him. Thank you very much.
Don't need no mints,
Figgy growled, his big hands curling into fists as he watched the dark wizards ahead of us. We're doomed, I told Ryan, just so you know.
You always say that.
Yes, well, I mean it this time.
You there? Stop where you are.
Maybe I want to stop where I'm not,
Kevin said. Kevin?
What? You know I don't like being told what... Oh, right, the plan.
He winked down at me.
Daddy's got you.
Is that what it would have taken?
Dimitri asked me stiffly.
Daddy play? Because I can do that. In case you can't tell, I do have a mustache. There's nothing more daddy than having a mustache.
Stop hitting on him, or I'm going to punch you with my finger. Ryan snapped at him. Hello there! I called out to the darks, desperately trying to retain control of the situation because this was the stupidest idea I'd ever had. Do you know who I am? The darks looked at each other before they all shrugged.
Is your name John?
I gaped at them.
Not John, then,
another dark said.
To be fair, he doesn't really look like a John. More of a Terence.
Terence!
A third dark scoffed.
You think everyone looks like a Terence? Only because your name is Terence. Just because it's a terrible wizarding name doesn't mean you need to foist your insecurities on the rest of us.
He scoffed.
Terence.
Aww,
Terence said, looking down and kicking at the dirt. I'll be honest. My ego took a little hit that they don't know who I am. I mean, I know I shouldn't let things like that affect me, but it really does.
You're still wearing your hood, Gary said. They probably can't see your face. Also, you egotistical whore.
I pulled back my hood, revealing myself. The dark wizards gasped and took a step back.
Ha ha, I said. That's better. Though, you would think the unicorn, half-giant, and dragon would have given me away.
What about me? Ryan asked, brow furrowed. You're a knight, I told him, patting him on his metal shoulder. You all look the same.
Ha, oh,
Kevin said.
That's so true.
Ryan sighed.
It's Sam of Dragons!
One of the darks cried.
Sound the alarm!
Wait! They all looked at me. Huh. I didn't think that would work. You're legitimately waiting.
Focus!
Dimitri hissed at me. Oh, right. Hello! Yes, hi, you are correct. It is I, Sam of Dragons, but I am not here for the reason you think.
You're not here to try and destroy the darks, rescue the people of the City of Locks, and defeat Mirin, as the prophecy foretold?
Terrence asked. Goddamn Terrence. No, I said as evenly as possible. I'm not.
What?
Kevin said, over loud.
Why, whatever do you mean, Sam? I thought that's the exact reason we came here. To destroy the darks, rescue people, and defeat Mirin. You are the chosen one, after all.
Right, I said. I am the chosen one. Gary snickered next to me before I shot him a glare. He was able to semi-believably cover it up with a cough.
Yes, Sam. As my husband said, whatever do you mean?
Yes. See, I just said that in order to get you to-
Traitor,
Kevin said. I narrowed my eyes as I looked up at him. You said your line too early.
Pot me kettle,
Gary muttered. Oh, right. Sorry, I just got excited.
What's going on?
One of the darks asked.
I have no idea,
another said. Like I was saying, I continued, I just said that in order to get all of you here because, you see, I have a surprise for all of you.
Here's a surprise for all of us, Terrence asked. I do like surprises.
God damn, Terrence! Not for you, for my motley crew of travelers.
What surprise?
Tiggy asked right on cue, because unlike some of the people next to me, he understood the script. I chuckled in what I hoped was a disconcertingly evil fashion.
Ha ha ha! Ah, my dear fellow, I am so glad you asked, because you see, the truth is...
All the darks leaned forward.
I have turned to the other side, I shouted.
Silence. Legit, like, a lot of silence. Kevin? I muttered. Anytime now.
Hmm? What are you... Oh, right.
He cleared his throat.
Traitor.
That's exactly right. I crowed, beginning to pace in front of my friends. I, Sam of Dragons, have forsaken the teachings of my mentors, and am now a dark wizard. The dark wizard said.
I knew that was going to happen,
Terrence said.
You did not, Terrence.
One of the darks snapped.
I did,
Terrence insisted.
I told myself, Terrence, old boy, I bet you one day Sam of Dragons is going to show up here at the gates and then turn on his people. Fucking Terrence.
Another dark muttered. Gary pranced toward me.
But Sam,
he cried dramatically. His bouffant wobbled ridiculously on his head.
We're friends. Best friends, even. Maybe even more than that, because that line blurred a few times, especially when you drank too much and started eyeing my flanks like you wanted to lift my tail and stick your face up in there.
Gary and his ad-libbing were going to be the death of us.
Yes,
I said. That, well, even you couldn't sway me with your succulent wiles. I have turned dark, and that is all there is to it. He looked gleeful when he was supposed to be emotionally destroyed.
My succulent what now? Ryan, did you hear that? He thinks I'm succulent.
I heard. Ryan said through gritted teeth. And you, I told Dimitri, trying to get us back on track. I have betrayed you because I believe you to be a perfect offering to the greatest wizard in the world. After all, Mirren would love to have the King of the Fairies as prisoner. The Dark sounded rather pleased about that.
That's so true,
one of them said. Dimitri buzzed angrily.
You think you can stop me? I am the king of the dark woods. I am the guardian of the forest, the keeper of the trees.
We get it, I said.
Good,
he snapped.
Because nothing you can do can stop me.
You forget, I said, arching an evil eyebrow at him. I am the master of the dragons. They belong to me. They are in my control. Perhaps an exhibition of my power would show you just how wrong you are.
Do your worst, Tiki intoned. I smash you good.
I would like to see you try, you giant of a man. No, enough talking. Behold the strength of Sam of Dragons. I got chills with that, Gary whispered to me. Like, if this was real, I would consider being scared. Cool, right? I whispered back. And then a bright light burst from my hand, a ball of swirling energy. That was absolutely nothing at all. I'd used a smaller version in the sewer tunnels. It wasn't even warm. But the Darks didn't know that.
And now, I said, for one of my most diabolical spells. Floraboroslam!
I hurled the light at Kevin. It hit him in the chest and dispersed. He wouldn't have even felt a thing, but he clutched his chest and growled, his tongue lolling from his mouth. A little stream of smoke curled from his nostrils. He slumped over, head hanging down for a beat or two before he raised his head and looked at me.
Master,
he said in a dull voice,
I am here to do your bidding.
The Darks clapped.
How about that? All right. Okay. Well, okay.
Wait, Terence said. I thought dragons were impervious to magic.
Goddamn Terence. He was my greatest enemy. After Lady Tina, Mirren, Ruv, Caleb, and Vedoma, I would have my revenge. You are exactly right, Terence. They are, except for Floraboroslam. It is a spell of my own design, something I concocted while deep in the dark woods. I studied all the dragons and learned of a weakness in their makeup. That weakness allows me to control them.
And always,
Kevin said in that same flat voice.
Like, you could do things to me and I wouldn't be able to resist. I'm your sexy puppet.
Right. I said quickly, or other things not quite as gross and or related to bestiality.
Control the dragons?
One of the Darks asked. I am so glad you asked. Kevin, take out Gary and Tiggy and Ryan and Dimitri.
Roar,
Kevin said, baring his teeth slightly. He reached down and tapped Tiggy on the shoulder. Tiggy yelled,
Gwaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaaa
one of the darks said. It looked like he barely even hit him.
Grrr.
Kippen said as he poked a claw against Gary's neck, the skin dimpling. Alas! Gary cried as he stumbled. I have been defeated. My horn, recently returned to me that no one has complimented me on the last 36 minutes, has failed me. I feel the darkness closing in on my vision. My life is flashing before my eyes. I had a wonderful time here in the world. Why, there's a time I was a wee slip of a lad and found myself losing my virginity to a rough-and-tumble centaur named Douglas von Snapperstein. He had such wonderful biceps that made me feel safe as he plundered my virgin hole. And then this is the time I found myself eating warm ketchup for the first time and realized that people who open condiments and then put them back in the pantry instead of the icebox are essentially equivalent to those who commit war crimes. And then there was the time I... You said you were defeated, I reminded him, starting to sweat a little. Well, excuse me if I have lived a long and storied life that I have yet to write down in an autobiography entitled If I Did It, where I discuss all the bad and illegal things I've potentially done and tell you exactly how I would have done them had I done them. It would have been a surprise follow-up 4 months later called I Did It, where people would shell out the same amount to read the fact that I did those bad things.